Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast of Werribee Baptist Church to the world. This is The Elaborators, where we sit down with some very, very important people and discuss things of great import to the whole world. We've been talking about great habits that help you in your spiritual journey. So, if you're a spiritual person, that's great. If you're not, don't worry about it. Listen in anyway. You might hear some great stuff. In the studio today, I have Mr. Simon. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Listen, that was a bit Frank Walker from National Tiles.
Hello. What do we actually call you again? Producer Simon. I was trying to give you a title.
That seems to be what's happening.
Producer Simon is in the house, which is really lovely.
I hope all our listeners and watchers are feeling well today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, g'day to you if you're feeling bad. Hopefully this cheers you up. I don't know. Does the Elaborators podcast have any healing properties?
I haven't got feedback on that yet.
Can we claim that?
If anyone wants to comment and let us know.
If anyone finds our voices calming and soothing, and they're not actually listening for any information, they just want to hear the gentle rumble of producer Simon's voice.
Now I know. I've got to think of something soothing to say.
I don't know.
This is the Elaborators on a Friday night. Isn't that what it was? Live radio or something?
Not that I okay, to we're going to end up in love songs and dedications very, very soon. Mate, how have you been, by the way? I haven't seen you on the pod for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm going to, at the time of this in, what are we, March? I'm going to Europe in April.
Yeah, Europe in April.
So that's the excitement that's going on right now.
That's exciting. Taking the whole family?
The whole family and meeting many more family over there.
So this is the reunion of the European side of the young clan.
The UK side of
the UK side.
UK and Europe we're doing.
Right. Yeah. So you've got cousins and family that live where?
All around, but mostly south of London, south of England.
Can you do the accent? Do you know how to fit in yet?
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
I was hoping to suck you in with that. I was excited that you might actually give it a crack. Over the last few weeks at WBC, we've been going through this idea of habits, good things to get yourself going and I guess healthy in so many ways. And we've talked about reading the Bible. We've talked about going to church, talked about a couple of things that you might expect churchy people to talk about. Yep. Has it impacted you in any way? Have you sort of grabbed anything new from it?
Yeah, I mean, I went into the series, you know, through the preparation to the series, knowing that the habit of Bible reading is a weak point for me.
Okay.
So that is something I am working on. And we've got some tools and resources that we've been telling everybody about, and I've been using those as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build that habit. So
tell them they're listening to your soothing, healing voice right now. So tell them, what do they do to get the Bible habit going on? What do they do?
Well, at Werribee Baptist Church, we do have a quiet time tool, a daily devotional that we have PDFs on our website, and we also have a app on the smartphones, and it is all in there. And it's got our Pastor Deanna works out, and Lachlan, I believe, during the rest of the year will work out script references for each day.
Yeah.
People read it, process it, pray about it, and it's a good time to get.
So again, the idea is that it's curated scripture. It's just a small portion, but it's in context. It gives you some context day to day.
Topical, either a month or for this series about the topics.
So it's a little bit easier if you're a bit scared of getting into an ancient text and seeing if you can get anything out of it. But there's some great stuff. And of course, we'd encourage you to go and check out the messages on the WBC YouTubes and all the rest of it. But today, producer Simon,
yes,
I'm actually pretty excited about this.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited. I'm gonna do some more intro music.
Do it.
Because I'm pretty excited to introduce you to a friend of mine who, when I met him, was a... No.
Uh-oh.
Stop it. I was going to start picking on him, but I'm not. I'm just going to introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, John Takemar is in the house with us. Say hello to the people.
Yeah, everyone, great to be here. I'm excited.
You look pumped.
I am pumped. Couldn't have been more pumped. I'm ready to go.
All right, I'm going to stop the music now because I want to know, you're in the house because I've worked with you in church world and leadership world for a good, at least 15 years, I reckon now. And I met you when you were leading an organization called the thing you were running was called the Global Leadership Summit, but it was part of Willow Australia. Was that the name of it?
Willow Creek Australia was.
You've been in a past life. You and your wife have been Salvation Army captains in Adelaide and other areas around Australia. You've been involved in charitable work all over the place. And the reason I've got you in today, other than just putting you in the hot seat and putting you on the spot, is today we wanted to talk about the habit of one of the habits of finding your gift and using your gift to serve wherever you find yourself serving. So off the top of your head, If I was to say to you, what's your giftiest gift, what would it be?
My giftiest gift.
Giftiest gift. That's a very, that's a.
That's hard, well, that's fancy language.
That's right fancy there. Language.
Giftiest gift.
Your giftiest gift.
Oh, I think my top two would be pastoral care, leadership, and probably administration to some extent. But
yep.
I'm more of a carer and I would like to think a leader. But
I'd like to think you were too.
I'd vote for that
a little bit.
How many people would like to think that John's a leader? Just by way of applause. Oh, they're into it.
Yeah, they're into it.
They're
yeah,
into it.
They're a passionate
there's,
crowd. Our audience.
There's another guy out there though that was like, I've just got to fit that into every episode somehow. So yeah, so there's a bunch of gifty gifts there. How you grew up around church and faith and things like that. Tell us a bit about how it all began for you.
Well, I grew up as what we call an OK, which in the Salvation Army terms is an officer's kid.
So you were an OK, I was a PK.
You were a PK.
Yeah. What were you, Producer Simon?
I was just K.
Just K. He's the normal one in the room.
Yep, just a kid.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, yep.
So, yeah, so growing up in a Salvation Army home with my parents' Salvation Army officers, I obviously was very much caught up in the day-to-day, you know, church stuff and the stuff that Salvos do, social justice, community development stuff.
So it was stuff that was presented to you as what your parents did. It kind of just did it feel very natural for you to get into that? I mean, it was modeled to you essentially.
Yeah, I think it's like any when you grow up as a child in a household, for that becomes the norm, doesn't it? That's the way we seem to function. And you know, my parents were always heavily involved in the local Salvation Army Corps, as they call it. And back in the day, this was back in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of church activities, Salvation Army activities, both in terms of church community, but also in terms of the outreach to the community, like, you know, emergency housing, drug and alcohol rehabilitation, emergency food relief, all those kind of things.
So. Yeah, and what I love about that is I've seen that continue in your world. You're very passionate about helping people, and I would just put it plainly, at their lowest ebb. You're very, very good in that space. And when I look at these things around gifts, there's a little tool that some people listening and watching might be aware of called SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E.
Does that stand for something, Justin?
It certainly does, Simon. Thanks for asking, Producer Simon.
Well, don't they all?
Yeah, they do. Every word can be turned into an acrostic, right? No, but this one, I don't know how old this tool is. It's been around for a while, but SHAPE is, S is for spiritual gifts, H is for heart, A is for abilities, P is for personality, and E is for experiences. And all of those things impact and affect how you go about being you and being useful to the other people around you, which is essentially the idea of if you can sort of discover your SHAPE and you can discover how you serve, essentially what you're asking is, how can I be useful to the other humans?
Exactly.
So for you, growing up in that space, was it something that you felt, was there any sense of, I've got to do it because that's what I'm supposed to do? When did it turn from mum and dad told you had to do it to this is just how I'm wired?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think, as a child, you grow up, it's normal. It wasn't until I was probably in my teens that I explored faith more from a personal point of view. It was all like, this is all my parents' faith. Now I have to grapple with it. And I did find faith early on in my life. So, and that sort of very quickly led to a sense of calling, a sense of purpose, a sense of wanting to make a difference in the world.
Mm.
So I was a humble carpenter initially, building
kitchens. I knew you were like Jesus.
Yeah.
Here you go. John the humble carpenter, Jesus the humble. I mean, there's parallels there.
Yeah.
You've got a beard like Jesus.
I actually got myself into trouble at work because what I found myself doing, there was guys at work that were struggling with stuff and I was the guy that they talked to.
Yeah.
And I was kind of getting into trouble because I wasn't delivering the speed of work that I was meant to be because I was too busy. I was too busy stopping for a chat. So I kind of worked out probably in the wrong industry here.
Has anything changed?
No,
not much.
No, John was almost on time to the podcast recording today. It was exciting and came in completely prepared. Sorry, no, we love you, man. I'm just here to pick on you.
You do that well.
It's a gift. It's a gift. That's in my spiritual gifts. Australian sarcasm. Is that somewhere, Producer Simon? Can I claim that as a gifty gift?
Sure. We'll just put an A on the end of SHAPE.
Australia is shapier.
If you're not staring someone, you know. If I'm polite, it means I don't like you.
Interesting.
If I get really polite.
So if John, who's like Jesus, is ever too formal with you, you know it's because he doesn't like you very much.
If I'm taking the mickey out of you.
There you go. Then we're mates.
And if he's outrageously rude and like blunt.
Oh, that's love. That's love.
Love.
That's love.
Right. Good to know. Noted.
And that's how I got to know John.
Now I'm going to wait until John starts talking rudely to me.
So you've grown up in faith circles. You've grappled with faith as a teenager and come to a place of belief early on. Is there a correlation between having a faith and actually just your gifts being expressed in general? How has faith actually changed the way you would express your gifts? Because I feel like you're a good guy, you keep telling me you are.
I try to be. Look, I think it's a bit of a blurry line between natural abilities, natural talent, and the Bible obviously uses the term spiritual gifts. And I think it's a matter of that we're all wired up. We all have different abilities and talents and strengths and weaknesses. But I think when we're in tune with God, I think that kind of supercharges maybe that, you know, our connection with God and our purpose, our sense of mission enables us to, to use that term, supercharges our abilities, our natural talents.
Yeah, I like that. So understanding the God part of it just supercharges your natural abilities. The scriptures that we use when we're talking about our spiritual gifts come from Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12. And Ephesians chapter 4 basically outlines how the body works, and Romans 12 it says Romans 12 is the all the body should work together, and I like the way the Message version puts it. It says, if you preach, just preach God's message and nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. Feels very Australian, this, doesn't it? If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8 in the Message version. It's pretty powerful language, isn't it? And this is what Ephesians 4 says. It says that he, being God, handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts. He filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church. So that's the one that a lot of people talk to when they come into a faith community. They're trying to figure out, am I the apostle, the teacher, the preacher? Am I these kind of things? You often talk to me about the difference between what people can see of church, being they can see the platform, they can see the preacher, they can see the musician, and how it actually works. So describe to me that part of you that goes, you'd like to expose people to other areas where they can express their gifts.
Yeah, look, I think the traditional sort of model of church as a preacher and a choir, you know, there seemed to
and
be
you got one. Kicked out of the choir,
I
kicked heard. Out.
I was told that I had a lot of raw talent. And
yeah.
The operative and word was raw.
Raw.
I've heard the raw talent.
Yeah. We hear you raw often.
Yeah. So some people, you know, they get a high profile in the life of a church because they're on the stage, they're preaching or they're singing, they're leading worship. They're seen, but there's a lot that goes on, not just in the church, but any organisation where there's quiet achievers behind the scenes. And, you know, some of those people you might meet at the door, the greeters, ushers, that they probably have the next level of profile because they're seen.
They're seen, yep.
But then you've also got the administrators and you've got the pastoral carers, the ones that do the one-to-one interaction and that sort of stuff. You know, it happens, but it doesn't necessarily get a profile on in a public gathering.
Yeah. And so what's the – I mean, again, I would say anybody that's got the gifts because, you know, this would be an apologetic for myself because I'm a musician and a preacher. So my gifts occur on a platform in front of people. What I like to say to people is it's no more ego-driven than any other gift. It's just the gift I have and that's where it happens. And so trying to expose people to this idea of where your gift used, where you're finding your gift is important and knowing that your gift being used in the right space is important. You've probably seen it over the years where you've seen people desperately try and get a different type of gift. Has that ever happened for you?
Yeah, look, I think, actually I could argue that even within I've done the questionnaires and I've reflected on my gifts. And when I was younger, I really wanted to be a leader.
Yep.
And over time, I've learned to realise that probably my stronger spiritual gift is pastoral care. And sometimes those two gifts clash.
Yes, yeah.
Because to be a leader, you sometimes have to be a little bit more hard-nosed, a little bit more intentional about the task and a little bit less distracted by people's feelings. So my empathy can sometimes get in the way of my strategy or my decisiveness. So I've learned to balance those. But, yeah, there's certainly a lot of people you come across that want to have those more high-profile gifts. So they want to preach, they want to sing because they feel that that is where their affirmation is. But unfortunately, for someone like me, if you put me on stage to sing.
Not such a great call.
It's not going to be good for anyone.
Can I just come back to that idea of affirmation? So people wanting that space. Again, I've got a few theories about the way people throw around the word ego. For most of us, it's just about trying to find a place of acceptance and people seeing us and loving us the way we want to be loved. And so some of us make mistakes in putting ourselves in places where our gifts really shouldn't be. But that idea of affirmation, when do you feel most affirmed? In your leader / pastoral care, and there's a clash between those two, acknowledging that I liked what you said, your empathy gets in the way of your decisiveness, which is just the heart and the head argument, isn't it? But what do you do to balance that out? Is it, do you just try and do it yourself, or do you get others around you? How do you balance it out?
I think it has to do with your spiritual journey, your connection with God. Ultimately, every human being seeks affirmation, we all want to feel like we're making a difference. We all want to feel like there's, our time is not wasted, our time is meaningful. And I don't know about you, but whenever I get a compliment for what I've done, as much as you don't do it for that, it's great. It's positive, I had a text recently from someone that just, thank you for your time. It was a helpful conversation. I go, that gave me a sense of, oh, look, my time is not being wasted. Sometimes you feel like you're not making headway, but when you get that affirmation. So it's perfectly human to want that affirmation.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, when you're in tune with God and you're in tune with yourself and you understand the different gifts and you understand the importance of each gift, then it's probably, you'll find that ultimately you'll be happier when you're working in your strengths and in your gifts rather than trying to be someone you're not, because that takes an awful lot of energy and can often lead to burnout or just disappointment because you're not getting the affirmation that you're looking for. Because frankly, you can't be good at something if you're not good at it.
If you're not good at it, right? Yeah. I am coach a children's an under-18s boys basketball team. And I see this kind of represented in just the 7 or 8 kids that are on that team where they all want to be the highlight reel that they saw on the NBA. And in their minds, the shot they're taking is incredible and it looks beautiful in slow motion and it was an amazing play and it was the best pass. And as the coach, I'm often looking at him going, that was a stupid pass. That was a bad choice of shot. Did you not see the open guy in the key? That sort of thing. So as a coach, I sit back and I try to get through to the kids. And what I see is where there's a child who's not ready to hear, they'll just keep taking the same shot. They've got to hit a spot. And I'm thinking maybe it's another coach that'll work from another team, something like that. But I do think that if you're listening to this today and you think, I still want to be that person, but doors are slamming, doors are shutting, then I would encourage people to find someone that can speak wisely and with authority into your life.
You're often the last person in the room to realize, aren't you?
Exactly.
Really good way to get affirmation or confirmation of your gift is to actually ask other people in your life.
Yeah.
Because in your head you can be an expert at something, but other people in the room go, here he goes again. You're the last person to realise that everyone else knows that you're not particularly strong at that. But the flip side is when you're good at something and you have that gift and that ability and you're using it in a way that's productive, then in the same way that your friends and family, people know you, they'll be able to affirm that.
They say that when it comes to gifts and skills, there's 80% of what you do, everyone can do. 15% of what you do, only other skilled people can do. And then there's another 5% that only you can do. So what I like to remind people of is it's the old, John Cleese that said you're unique just like everybody else? The idea of uniqueness, that I'm so unique that I've got all of this incredible stuff, and if only people understood it, and you realize there's plenty of people that can do 80% of what you do, they can do too. They can all get up and brush their teeth in the morning. It's 15%, so you might have trained in a particular skill, but I remember I played French horn, believe it or not. I played French horn in high school and got very, very good at it at one point because, I don't know, I had a teacher that encouraged me to get very, very good at it. And so I got into university on that instrument. At my high school, I was the only person that played French horn. And in amongst several high schools that got together, there was only a couple of people that practiced. So it was so you felt pretty good about it. Oh, I'm pretty good at this instrument that's pretty rare. And then I got to university and found that not only was there a ton of people that could do what I did, but there was only one or two jobs available in orchestras, you know, around Australia. So it was one of those realizations at the age of 17, 18 of going, oh, wow, I'm not that. But life kind of feels like that, doesn't it? You're encouraged in it. But what was your gift, Sim, that you...
Well, I found it interesting with what John was talking about, the either last to see it or last to recognize it sometimes, is I grew up very much in design, graphic design things. And, you know, I could sketch in my it's in my family a little bit, the artistry. But you get told... Like you also get to, hey, you're a great drawer, or hey, that's so good, whatever. And so that does kind of feed. And then, so I was all about going off to graphic design and painting things. But as from then to now, what has morphed more so is I've realized that it's actually just communication.
Right.
Like not the graphic design. Like I know, and I've now much more aware that there are many, many, many more amazing graphic designers than me.
I don't believe that at all.
Many of them probably drawing on iPads under 18.
But
what has managed to morph and what I've learned and progressed through and things, I think is, I'd like to think, is the communication part of graphics and things.
And that's your 5%.
And so that, I think that's my 5%.
Yeah. So when you, and here we go, here's an alliteration. When you discover, develop and deploy your 5%, that is when you are at your best. So, John, what's the – if you look back over – and again, we've probably pointed out that childhood is not the best time to decide what you're amazing at. Just try everything, have a go at everything. And, you know, I try, as you guys do with your kids, you've tried to expose them to lots of opportunities and lots of things they can try. But if you don't have wise people around you, you will just keep trying to do 25 things instead of getting good at one. When you look back over the last – I don't even know how you measure it, but the last 25 years of ministry, what's the thing that you think, that's when I was in my sweet spot, or is it right now?
Oh, well, I think life experience and, you know, years of ministry or service or just experience does teach you a lot. I think one of the helpful talks that I heard on this topic was a guy called Marcus Buckingham. Back in my day when I was working with the Willow Creek Association, there was a leadership event. We used to do the leadership summit. And Marcus Buckingham, I think he worked for Morgan Gallup. It was a research company. But he wrote a book and he's sort of the spearheaded the whole leading from your strengths movement. Now, it's not specifically a biblical concept, but it does tie in really nicely to the biblical information around spiritual gifts. And that is that basically you don't spend a lot of time trying to fix the things you're not so good at.
Yeah.
But rather you lean into the things that you are good at. And so that was always helpful for me because sometimes in life you try so desperately to become a good all-rounder and you try to be good at everything and you can expend a lot of time and energy and even emotional and even spiritual energy trying to become something you're not. So that was a really important lesson for me.
Yeah.
To just know what I'm probably good at.
Mm.
I know what God's gifted me with and get the right people around me who can support me, understand my weaknesses and get the people around me that I need to offset that sort of weakness. So I try to thrive in what I'm best at.
So there's been moments through your journey where you felt you're in the zone because you've got the balance of people that balance out your weaknesses because you've made them aware of your weaknesses and you've been able to say them and then – It works well for a season, but it only ever happens. It's not a continuum, is it?
No, it's constantly moving, and it's also about other people in your life and what teams you're on. Again, what springs to mind is one of the leadership summit topics: the risky business of hiring stars. Where some research was done through Harvard University, that if you hire a person who's like a CEO of a big company, and you hire them thinking they're super you know, effective person, you bring them into your company, the chances of them succeeding is very low, unless you can bring their entire team
with them.
So
yes.
Most people are strong because of the balance between their gifts mm-hmm. and the gifts of the people around them. And so in the life of a church.
Say that again. Most people are strong because of the balance of?
The gifts of the people around them.
Right. The team. So you are not strong by yourself. Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah. And trying to become that person that can do all things
is
a recipe for disaster. But understanding your gifts and the people around you that can help you thrive and be successful, that's, I think, the way to go.
One of the things you can do is online, there's a thing called Shape Test, and if you go to we'll put this in the notes, but freeshapetest.com. What do you had a crack at it, didn't you, Producer Simon?
I did in my preparation before the show, 5 minutes before the show.
5 minutes before the show, of course.
Hold on, let me get my notes. I did do the test.
And you did the test? What did you come up with?
I got, that gives you kind of your top three. I got 90% administration.
Ooh, well done you.
And I wouldn't say that is Excel spreadsheet administration, but that's okay.
Yeah.
65% serving and 62% teaching.
So let me just go through the categories they have in the Shape Test are administration. This is a spiritual gifts test, by the way. Yep. This is a faith-based test. Administration, evangelism, exhortation and encouragement, giving, mercy showing, prophecy, pastoring, shepherding, serving and teaching. So I believe I just said 10 things there. And it gives you your top three. So if you go to freeshapetest.com, you can have a crack at this. So, John, I'm assuming that mercy giving would be high on yours.
Yeah, mercy.
Is that right?
Yep, mercy.
So I got 90% on teaching. So I just like telling people stuff, which feels about right.
Yeah, you're always talking.
But you know, that's
John loving me with.
Yeah, but it's interesting though because mercy and I always feel guilty about it is my lowest.
Right.
But John's is. We would assume he hasn't done the test yet, but you would just, and that's the perfect balance of the teams around you.
Yeah, so I look at the three of us. So for those of you listening and watching, the three of us work on a team at Werribee Baptist Church together and we have become a team just in the last 2 to 3 years, I guess. I don't know, but excluding the blip. But for now anyway, we seem to be balancing each other out okay. So certainly when I get a phone call from someone who's in desperate need, I will be the person that I can say, I've got some thoughts, I've got some prayer maybe, I've got some emergency stuff, but I'll say, you know who you need is John Takema. When someone says to me, I've got a systems process thing going on between maybe the physical spaces or the data or whatever, how do I find something on the website or whatever, I'll go, you need a communicator who's clear, that's Producer Simon. So there's what I love about that is where as a leader I – like most leaders have that penchant to try and fix everything because I'd like to be able to fix everything. I'd like to be able to help. And often you try and you get yourself caught up in yourself and you get anxious because not only have you started a process that you can't finish, now you're looking at a person who's relying on you because you said you could do it. And you've got that sort of guilty thing going on. What I love about having great team around is I've got people that I can go, you don't need me. Even though I want to be needed at times, every leader does. I want to be the guy who can fix the things and make it all better. I'm not your person for today. You need these other people. And again, probably, you know, time and maturity is what allows you to think more about that. So often people come to you, John, for your network of people. You've got a big network of people and so do I, and I know Simon does too. And that's just time. So if you want to have a look at that, that's the free shape test. The other one that I'd point people to as well is Marcus Buckingham that we were just talking about. You can take a thing called the standout assessment, which I found to be a really handy tool as well. But in coming weeks at WBC, we're going to keep elaborating on what it is to find out what your gifts are and deploy your gifts as well. And we're going to do that at church on a Sunday. So if you can physically be here, come to church on a Sunday and you can hear a few of these things. You can also, of course, catch up on any of the podcasts and the sermons and the – what else we got?
Well, werribeebaptist.org.au is a website. We have the messages.
This is you using your gift because I don't know where to go now.
We're on YouTube and you'll find stuff on Spotify and Facebook and Instagram. We'll try and be wherever the people are.
John – what would be your encouragement to people in deploying their gifts in church life? I just want to ask this question because I think it's important because churches have been known, I'm sure you haven't been involved in any, have been known to use people a little too much and not be aware of where their end point is. So
I think it's that a lot of organisations, if you do something, if you ask someone to do something and they do it well, then the easiest solution next time is to go back to that person, ask them again. What we do find in church life is when that person leaves, if they're sick or they move away or something happens, it creates a void. Mm. And often it's in that void that other people step up. And that's often a really good catalyst for people to get involved. What tends to happen is people sit back and watch other people do it. And it's not always clear how to step in. And I think we all as organisations need to work harder at encouraging people to engage their gifts in different ways. Because, you know, for example, if your gift is administration or even, you know, compassion or mercy, you know, it's not self-evident always as to where you can
– where to do it, yeah.
Where to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. And so people come to church, they sit, they listen to people like you sing and preach, and they get ushered into the building and they experience the service. It's a great moment. But then if they want to actually, you know, figure out how to apply what God has gifted them with, it's not always as clear-cut as it should be. So I think we need to work harder
yep.
at creating pathways for people. But you can start by becoming self-aware. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Talk to your family and friends. Do the shape or the, you know, do some questionnaires. Try to get your own personal awareness to the level where yeah. you can actually, you know, talk to someone and say, I think this is my gift and I'd like to serve. You know, I'd like to make a difference in the world. I'd like God to use me in this space. And then it's about just knocking on some doors, I suppose, and talking to some people.
And my personal take is when you've got that self-awareness and you're talking to people and you're trusting people, when you get it right, it's a bucket filler. If it's a bucket drainer all the time, something's going on.
Yeah. Well, if you're doing what you love, you'll get energized.
Oh, I just love hanging around you, mate. Always energized. That's enough of that. It's going to get soppy in here.
Get out while we still can.
Get out while we still can. John Takemar, thank you for being part of the Elaborators today. You've done very well.
Thank you.
For someone who was completely unprepared and had no idea what was happening, yeah. as per usual.
Was that rowdy audience giving him an applause?
Oh, where's the rowdy audience?
Yeah, bring it on. Bring
I almost, it on. I almost hit the trombone guy again. You've been listening to The Elaborators, part of the WBC network of thingamajigs that we do. I hope you've enjoyed it today. Share it with your friends. Tell us what you think. And we'll catch you next time on The Elaborators.
See you later.
See you later. Woo!
Dance break.